Good afternoon. Everyone's still awake? Because this is the most exciting topic possible for the week. Deployment? Not at all. Well, deployment's usually boring stuff. We'll try to talk about some new stuff and make it a little more interesting at least. But this session is Windows 10, what's new in Windows 10 deployment. My name's Mike Niehaus. For the next 75 minutes or so, we'll go over kind of the changes that we're looking at for Windows 10 deployment, some of the new things that we're introducing, and changes to existing tools as well. To start off with that, though, we kind of have to talk about an inspirational goal for us, which is really to get away from the traditional deployment altogether, to move away from the wipe and load that people have been using for the last decade or so, and instead look at other alternatives that can be used to deploy an OS without as much work. So instead of having the traditional deployment, back up the user state, lay down a new golden image, reinstall apps, inject drivers, and then put all the user data back, how can we leverage OS tools to do that simpler? So the first step would be, well, can we use in-place upgrade to go from an old OS version to a new OS version? But then that still leaves the question of how do we deal with new devices? How do we set up a new device so that it's ready to be used by the end user without needing to lay down a new image on it and without having to spend really much time configuring the device. Before we get to that, though, we should talk about just the general app compat challenge, because that really becomes the first big challenge for most organizations looking at a new OS. Will my existing applications work? Will my existing hardware work? Will my web pages work? So we have to start there and talk about just overall what are the requirements and what are the expected compatibility results going to be. From a hardware perspective, if a machine can run Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 8.1, it should have no issues at all running Windows 10. We continue to push Windows 10 down so that it can run on lower end hardware. The net result of that is it generally runs better on devices than the OSs before it. So no concerns from a hardware requirement perspective. Anything that runs Windows 7 or above should work fine. There are a few minor gotchas in there. There is a couple of specific CPU instruction requirements for the 64-bit OS that were introduced with Windows 8.1. So if you want to run a 64-bit OS version of Windows 10 on, say, a Pentium D processor, sorry, it's not going to run. How many of you still have Pentium D processors? No, I would hope not, because they're like 8 or 9 years old, and they only supported 2 gig of RAM, and I'm not sure why you'd want to put a 64-bit OS on that anyway. So there are a few pieces of hardware that won't support 64-bit OSs. They would support x86, but otherwise, everything just works. So let's say that there won't be the occasional driver that needs to be updated to support the new OS capabilities or to ensure compatibility with the new OS. So we are working with the OEMs and ISVs to make sure that we can address any driver issues that come up. But from a hardware perspective, same CPU requirements, same RAM requirements, same disk space requirements as Windows 7. For application compatibility, we expect this to be a pretty good story overall. For those of you who migrated from Windows XP to Windows 7, would you say that was a smooth experience? I hear chuckles. No, that wasn't a smooth experience at all. That's the worst migration you could possibly go through. This one will be much better than that. For those that went from Windows 7 to Windows 8 or 8.1, the experience was much better because the amount of change in the OS was much smaller. The same is going to be true with Windows 10. Yes, we're making lots of changes to the OS, but the changes aren't really to the Win32 subsystem that these apps run in. So as a result, if you don't change it, you don't break it. So we expect that desktop apps, 90%+ of them will have no issues. Now, we could never say 100% will have no issues because we continue to find ways that developers can do creative and sometimes stupid things. So there are always going to be those apps that need to be either remediated or upgraded to support the new OS. Then there's the other side of the equation where maybe the application works just fine, but you need a support statement from the ISV to certify that it's properly supported on Windows 10. We are trying to work with the ISVs to get them moving forward with Windows 10 in that vein as well. So there are still some challenges with that. I've got another session tomorrow, and Chris Jackson has a session as well, talking about the application compatibility challenges, which is as much about the process of verifying that the applications will be okay than it is about really the compatibility problems, because we don't expect there to be too many problems. For those that are running Windows 8 or Windows 8.1, the challenge is with making sure your Windows Store apps still work, the modern applications. But that shouldn't be a big issue at all. We have hundreds of thousands of those in the Windows Store today. We can run automated tests against those to make sure those apps continue to work. So we know when we break things on that side, and we remediate those problems before you even see them. So no concerns there, which brings us to Internet Explorer, which is a challenge. How many of you are running IE 11 today on all the machines in your enterprise? That's not a good number. That's probably only a third of the audience. That's going to be the big challenge. Before you can get to Windows 10, you probably should get to IE 11, assuming you're running some older IE version. Older versions of IE running on Windows 7 go out of support January 2016. That's not that far away. So you've only got so many months to get from whatever browser you're running today, whatever version of IE you're running today, to IE 11 before security updates stop on the older browsers. That's the bad news. The good news is IE 11 is the natural stepping stone to Windows 10. IE 11, as it exists on Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, will be built into Windows 10. It's not to say that it's the only browser built into Windows 10. We'll also have Microsoft Edge there as well. Edge can be used for the HTML5 internet-facing sites. IE 11 can be used for the legacy applications where you need all of the compatibility features that are present in IE. With IE 11, we have the enterprise mode capabilities that can enable it to emulate IE 7 and IE 8. We have the ability to override document types to specify anything from IE 5 on up. And we have some reporting tools to help with that as well. So lots of additional investments have gone into IE to make it ready for enterprises to get to IE 11 and to use that to support all the legacy apps. Once you get there, the migration path to Windows 10 is relatively straightforward. Now, having two browsers on the system, if you choose to allow Edge to be used as well as IE 11, will have some potential user impact on that. So we can bounce from one browser to the other. So maybe they use Edge for all of their normal browsing, and when they hit an internal site, we can say, well, this site needs to run an IE. We can pop up IE to run that instead. So try that out. It's not completely implemented in the current build, but we will be adding more capabilities to handle that multiple browser scenario in later builds. But certainly getting to IE 11 on Windows 7 is an important first step to get to Windows 10 and to make sure you stay supported after January 2016. There are several other IE sessions going on. Fred presented a session this morning talking about Windows 10 enterprise browsing, where basically he spent 75 minutes talking about the enterprise mode capabilities and how these types of things will work in an enterprise environment. There are quite a few other sessions going on during the week as well, talking about this from different angles. How do you deploy it? How do you secure it? How do you manage it? All of those topics are covered. There's a question back there. Sorry, I can't hear that. So if you can grab a microphone, that would probably help.
Windows 8.1 was that people would pull up the Metro browser, save a bookmark, then they'd go into the desktop version and go, where's my bookmarks? Is right. IE 11 and Edge going to have different bookmarks and that kind of thing?
Yeah, at the present point in time, they don't. That's still something being discussed, but at this point, they have separate browser histories, they have separate cookies, they have separate shortcuts. That's not to say that that can't change, so if that's important, certainly submit some feedback through the Windows feedback tool, and we can look at the potential for that. So lots of discussions around IE11. We need to get there. We need to enable that in order to get to Windows 10. For those that think, oh, well, I'll go to Windows 10 first, and that will get me to IE11 at the same time. How many of you think you can get to Windows 10 and your entire enterprise by January 2016? If so, we'd like to do a case study with you, because that will be record speed for an organization. That's very fast. If you've got lots of machines, getting that number of machines through all the testing, all the compatibility, all the ISV support statements, and through just the physical process of deploying the OS by January is a really tough thing to do. Those that are running Windows 8, not 8.1, are kind of in the same boat, because Windows 8 goes out of support in January 2016. So if you're running Windows 8 today, you have a choice. You can go to Windows 8.1, or you can go directly to Windows 10. But it's the same problem. You need to finish it by January 2016. So if you have a choice between moving to Windows 8.1, which has been out for quite a while and is fully supported, or going to Windows 10, which isn't out yet and will probably take a little bit before all the ISVs sign off and say, yeah, I'm ready to go, it should be a fairly obvious decision on which direction you need to go. How many of you are still running Windows 8? Fortunately, that's a small number, so not a big deal there.